Good morning. This is Robert Woolsey, news director at Raven Radio, stepping in for the morning interview, and we're going in the field today to the offices of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And I'm in the office of Dan Gray. He's the regional management coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for salmon and herring. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, and I'll just clarify that a little further to say that that's commercial fisheries.
Commercial fisheries, for sure. And coming up, I guess, on February 23rd is when the Board of Fish meeting starts.
Then runs through March 3rd as of right now.
I think for people who are into commercial fishing and who even follow sport fish policy pretty closely, the Board of Fish meeting is kind of the Super Bowl. It's a lot happens here. All the players, all the stakeholders are present, and then you have a board, a board appointed by the governor, that has to somehow find a path, preserves the interests of the state and the residents. A lot of the people listening right now, it's an interesting process. I consider it pretty democratic. Do you see it that way?
I think it's one of the most democratic processes we have, and very unique in our world of resource managers and users. We have, you know, the public involved at a very grassroots level through the advisory committees, and then individually or otherwise submitting proposals during a board cycle, and then basically taking that through the process, trying to win some support for it, and going in front of the board then and giving public testimony and just kind of working the process and trying to get something changed that is in their interests or that they find beneficial to the resource.
Dan, how does it work? How often does the Board of Fish meet to discuss Southeast Alaska fin fish proposals?
That's every 3 years.
Okay, and was the last meeting wasn't here in Sitka, it was someplace else, but we have had a meeting before in Sitka.
Yes, we have had. I'm a short-timer here, but that's what they tell me. There has been a meeting here before.
And when we're talking about this meeting going February 23rd through March 3rd, this is straight through. This is Saturday and Sunday as well, right?
Yes, and they've gotten a lot more civilized in terms of the hours they keep. We used to run these meetings into the wee hours, and 11 o'clock at night wasn't uncommon. Now they pretty much run 8 to 5, but they are full days, and there are just, it's nonstop action. It's our Super Bowl. You're absolutely right.
How does it work? Is the board going to take every single proposal one by one, or do they consolidate them, or how do they filter through the proposals? A lot of them read, you know, they're pretty similar.
Yes.
What does the board do to filter it out?
Well, the process is that we have a committee process, but that is when the public gets to interact directly with the board, and at that time things are sorted out a little bit, and they kind of lump the proposals that are similar so that when they go to deliberations, they'll choose one that is most representative of the whole group, and they'll either adopt or not that proposal. And then based on that action, they may decide to take no action on similar proposals.
All right, and that happens in consultation with the public. To some degree.
With the public, with Department of Law, it's all, you know, every proposal is addressed, but it may be, one proposal may be made inconsequential or moot by another proposal. And recognizing that, they may decide to take no action on a similar proposal that they've already acted upon.
Is it reasonable to assume that the board weights every proposal equally, or does it, I know that the department submits proposals. Mm-hmm. There are the regional subsistence advisory committees submit proposals. There are communities that submit proposals. There are native organizations and corporations that submit proposals. Does the board say, oh well, because it's a community, we're automatically going to look at this one? Or what, in your experience, what are the criteria for deciding if a proposal is going to get traction at one of the meetings?
That's an interesting question. I would say that you know, first and foremost, they look at the, what's best for the resource. If a specific proposal doesn't impact the health of the resource, the long-term health of the resource, the sustainability, as you know, they address it.
You know, here you have sort of just Joe Fisherman puts in a proposal, and here you have the city of Hoonah or the city of Angoon.
Right. And I guess I would say that what the board really looks at is if user groups come together and have some sort of cooperation in a proposal or an agreement about a proposal, they look on that pretty favorably.
Is that kind of what's happening in the committee of the whole? They're looking for collaboration among stakeholders and a sense of agreement?
That definitely, consensus is powerful.
It seems like a mind-boggling amount of work. What's the department's participation in prepping the board for reviewing these issues? Do you have to go in and do an analysis on every single proposal?
We do, and that's in, if you look on the Board of Fisheries website, you'll see a whole bunch of publications there, and there's probably close to a dozen written reports, and one of those is what we call RC2 staff comments. And it's about a 200-page document. Every one of those proposals has an analysis by the department and a department position under it. And that's a document that the board relies on pretty heavily. There's background information for each one, sometimes tables, figures, maps, that sort of thing.
I guess there's no way to get around it. Sometimes it can be a very contentious meeting, and a lot is at stake for a lot of interest groups and organizations and communities. How is that for you all? How do you be scientific and be advisory and, you know, uphold the mission of the department when people are kind of getting in your face a bit?
Well, that's a very difficult part of the job. People feel very strongly about these issues. Their livelihoods are at stake here in many cases, and that brings out some pretty strong opinions. We just keep trying to go back to objectivity and the data, and above all, sustainability of the resource.
My last question for you, Dan, is that it's my impression that subsistence seems to be playing a bigger part in this board process than the last time the board met in Sitka. Is that just my impression, or is that a reality that the board is being asked to play a more prominent role in deciding subsistence allocations?
I don't know if they're being asked to play a more prominent role, but certainly, you know, subsistence has been a growing issue, and I think Southeast is no exception. It is the priority use for the resource, and as such, it deserves all that attention. And our resources, our salmon resources, are pretty fully allocated at this point, and so it is cutting up the pie is a difficult chore. I don't envy the board for that.
And you're a manager. Does everybody put in for vacation beginning March 4th around here?
I know I will be.
All right. Dan Gray is Regional Management Coordinator for Commercial Fisheries, Salmon and Herring. He's based here in the Sitka, Alaska Department of Fish and Game office. We've been visiting with him. The Alaska Board of Fisheries is going to be meeting in Sitka February 23rd through March 3rd at Harrigan Centennial Hall. The meetings are open to the public, and they're fascinating stuff. Thanks, Dan, for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.